analysis in their newspapers and listen to the analysis they give in their media. And they were hoping that that they were successful in plotting against us, and their plots were effective. But thank God, once again, they failed. They failed because they still don't know our people, and but they're still hopeful. They have not been disappointed yet. They are going to continue plotting against us, and they are not going to let go of their evil intentions and plans. They have their own elements outside and inside the country. What's important here is that our universities and university students, Muslim students, should be vigilant. And all those students that care about the nation and care about the future and what will happen in the future should be aware that our enemies are plotting against us. But let me assure you, they are, at the end of the day, are going to fail. But we should be vigilant. The degree of our vigilance and our alertness can minimize the damage, and it can neutralize their plans. God forbid if we become negligent, then we may suffer a little more. But in the long run, they will not succeed. This was another issue that was talked about here earlier, and I wanted to respond to that. A question was asked here. I was, in fact, asked why I am defending the president, the cabinet. Well, there's nothing hidden about this. Any president is like any other individual, possesses weak points and strong points. When I support an individual, for instance, in this case, the president, I am supporting his strong points, positive points. Can you show me someone who works as hard as our president? And then I, as the leader of the Islamic Republic, wouldn't support it. Well, I support university students, don't I? Why shouldn't I support the students, justice-seeking students, hard-working students? That the students should be supported by anyone, including myself. So why shouldn't I support a president, a hard-working president? Of course, our president, our cabinet, there are some weak points in them. I was asked why I don't take a clear stance in public. Why should I do that? Why should I come out to in the public and, for instance, criticize an individual such as the president? Do you think criticizing a president in public will help him? I don't think so. Now, there are times that we can alleviate some problems without publicizing it and making a big deal out of it. Of course, there are also times that some criticisms should be made out in the public. But it depends. It depends on different situations, different cases. But don't you think that I support every thing that our president or our cabinet does. And if there is a criticism to be made, I do that. I criticize him and his cabinet. But why should I publicize it? In fact, sometimes we should know that it is to our benefit not to publicize some issues. Now, don't accuse me of sacrificing truth for the expediency. But don't you forget, expediency and expediting some issues sometimes are necessary. It's necessary. It's not a bad idea. It depends on the different situations. If I think we will be hurt more by publicizing an issue, then I won't publicize it. Now, why should we magnify, for instance, a weak point and disappoint our president or our cabinet by magnifying a small issue or a weak point? Now, again, it's wise to be cool and keep a low profile on things. Since we are short of time, I need to hurry and mention a few points. Now, at present time, Islamic system in Iran, Islamic Republic of Iran, and our political system is facing an all-out war. Let me dub this war as a soft approach war, or to put it in a smaller term, soft war. It's not a hot war. It's in a way a cold war. In a war such as the war that is being staged against us, we need to defend ourselves. In a hot war, the military does the job. But in a war that is not a hot war, and when our enemy approaches us with soft approaches, then the front line should be defended by the elite, by the educated people. You are the intellectual cadets that need to defend our system and fight this war. Don't ask me what the methods are. You can find the methods yourself. But the goal is to defend our country, our system, against the war that is being waged against us. And our enemies are using their economic power, their media, and their propaganda. They're using all the soft methods of fighting a war in order to defeat us. They have their own analysis, and they have their own reasons to fight us, and they think they're right. Now, in a strategic area, which includes Northern Africa and part of Mediterranean and parts of Asia, which is an important area, Islamic Republic of Iran lies in this area. There are some important and strategic waterways here, Straits of Hormuz, Suez Canal, Bab al-Mandab. These waterways are important because world trade is done through these waterways. If you study the geopolitical importance of the area that we live in, you will see how important this area is. It's sensitive. Now, in an important area such as this area, here we see a superpower such as Islamic Republic of Iran, a dynamic force that is confronting the world arrogant powers with their multinational companies, their media, and their political and propaganda machine. Our system is against the dominance of the world powers, and we are opposing the arrogance. This is a critical issue for them. When we talk about the arrogant forces of the world, we are not talking about only the United States government or some European government. The world arrogance is a very intricate and huge network consisting of the world Zionism, multinational companies, the huge monetary organizations. These are the organizations who are actually the kingmakers in this complex web of arrogance. And you can find the U.S. government. You can see a lot of oil companies, huge oil companies that plunder the resources of the countries in the region. And they see a strong force opposing them, so they do whatever they can in their, at their disposal to fight us. And they're going to continue this war. And the only way to neutralize the enemy in this type of war is our people, our elite, the university students, to fight the war and bring down the susceptibility of becoming defeated. Of course, our security and our military should also be strong. I've been telling the young people in this country for years now to learn as much as they can to achieve scientific feats, and there is a reason for all this emphasis, because through scientific achievements and the power of science, we can succeed defeating our enemy. Mind you that you should not get yourself involved in these political bickerings and the small issues that occur between our officials, for instance. I hope our universities, our research centers, and higher education institutions are never involved in these petty political bickerings. Universities and our higher education institutions should focus on the main job of teaching and learning and gaining knowledge. Of course, for some time in the past, our campuses were a little disquiet, and there were some problems occurring on our campuses. This is exactly what our enemy wants. So then don't let them have this chance. Now, I mentioned a little earlier that our young people and university students are the, in fact, the intellectual cadets and the soldiers fighting the war. Now, there is a question here. Someone asked me how I can help those people that use religion and mosque in order to fight the religious system. Don't ask me. You are smart enough to find out the methods of fighting. Now, a question was passed on to me, and the person has asked me to give the ways in one statement. Impossible task. Now, Sheikh Ansari once heard there was a mentor teaching young people, so he took his son to that mentor and asked him to teach his son. And he wanted that to be done overnight because he was about to leave on a trip. So don't ask me to put it in a nutshell, the methods you can fight the enemies. But the least you can do is to keep the atmosphere of hope and optimism among yourselves. Now, I consider myself as grandfather to some of you. Now, I am optimistic about the future, not because I am deluding myself and I am living in an illusion. I am saying this because I know what I'm saying. Don't you ever let pessimism take over, because if you do that, if you fall into the trap of pessimism and tell yourself, what's the use, nothing is going to be done, this will be followed by complacency and lack of effort, and that's exactly what our enemies want. The second recommendation I like to make is be careful not to fall into extremism. Now, of course, it is part of a young person's nature to be hot-blooded and become emotional about issues such as political issues. In fact, when I was young, I was acting the same. I was given advice by my elders not to be too emotional, but I never listened to them. And I know you may not adhere to what I'm saying at this time, but in the long run, you should be careful not to become an extremist in expressing your views. Of course, the young people today is different, are different than the young people in our times. 50 years ago, 60 years ago, our young people were not as well informed as you are. But having your eyes closed and approaching issues with dogmatism is not a good thing. Now, as I mentioned, we were expecting some plots to be implemented against us and some strife to happen after the elections. But God willing, our enemies will not succeed. Hopefully, I will have a chance to talk to university students again in the future.